When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, hour number four. Crazy, it's 9 o'clock already.
That's a good thing.
It is the Bill Fortoff studio.
What did I miss?
It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. We are playing Fish, who, by the way, will be playing nearby somewhere in the next couple of weeks, and I'm sure this guy probably has tickets for them. He is my best friend of all time. He is the Jets play-by-play man on Q1043, Jets Radio Network, and a guy that I used to work with way back in 1997. He is Bob Wishews. And Bob, good morning, Jerry and CeeLo. How are you, man?
You Fish, you let off. I'm doing the Fiesta Bowl. I'm going to be in a hotel room alone when Fish is playing the Garden on New Year's Eve.
That sucks.
My wife will be rocking out.
I'm sure she will. I'm glad you still enjoy your Fish. How you doing? All right.
I miss you. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. So, CeeLo, I'll tell you this real quick before we get into all the good stuff. So, Bob is a fantastic golfer, always has been as long as I've known him. And back in the day, we would go from time to time, and it was a thrill to play with Bob Wishusen. And there was morning when he was doing an overnight, and I was his board op, and he said, hey, we're going to play. You want to go? I'm like, sure. I'm like, where are we going? He goes, we're just right down 78. No problem. Following Bob, not knowing where we're going, we ended up in Pennsylvania. Is that or is that not true, Bob?
Well, I mean, right down 78.
It is down 78, so anyhow. All right, so let's talk about your football team, my man, because I am very confused by this team. Just, you've been there for what, 20? How many years are you doing this now, 22?
This is year 23 of doing all of the games. I was the backup guy for a few years as well. My first year covering the Jets, being there regularly for FAN, was 96. It was 1-15. It was year 2 of Rich Kotite. Ugh. I've been there every year since.
Wow. So you have seen...
Yeah, that was baptism by fire.
Yeah, I would say so. How do you... I am so thrown off by this team on so many different levels. You've been there every week. What is this team? Explain it to me.
That's a great question. I think they are a team that has enough talent that made Bill Belichick call up and say, I'd like to coach it.
Hmm.
And I think that that is still real, right? Like, Bill Belichick didn't call the Saints, and he didn't call the Bears. He called the Jets because I think he sees a roster that next year has potentially 4 out of 5 spots on the offensive line solidified, and it's got Breece Hall, and it's got Garrett Wilson, and it's got Sauce Gardner, and it's got Quincy Williams, and it's got Quinnen Williams. And I mean, it's got – there are a lot of really good football players on this team.
Yeah.
I do think that the offense, especially at the start of the season, I'm not, 100% sold schematically that they're as creative as they need to be. And they just got off to a sputtering start. And if you look at I know that the defense has come under fire. They're not playing to their standard. They'd be the first to say it. But at the same time, at the start of the year, the defense was playing well enough to win. But you look at the wins that they, or the losses that they had, and all of the one score losses. You lose at home to the Broncos by a point where you scored 9. Right. Like yesterday, they scored 9. And 3 times yesterday, the Rams scored, taking over in plus territory because the offense either turned the ball over with a fumble or turned it over twice on downs. And they only gave up 19 points. That's a defense playing well enough to win. So the lion's share of the times they've lost this year, the offense just hadn't flat out scored enough. And that's been the puzzling thing because they have enough talent to score more points.
Bob, what do you make of the frustrations from Garrett Wilson right now? Jerry and I were talking about it. We were going through the stats and what he said post-game. He does have quite a few targets. Even since Devontae Adams got here, it's not like it's fallen off a cliff or anything. Yet you can see and feel his frustration week in and week out. Do you think that's more about him individually or about the frustrations of the team not winning games?
Yeah, I think with Garrett Wilson, it's always, number one, it's about the frustration of not winning. Right. I mean, if you look at like the program he came from, all they did was win. And if you know him at all, and I've gotten to know him at least a little bit in talking to him, losses for him, he reacts to losses the exact way that you want a young star to react to losses. Like, it stings. And I think that's most of his frustration comes from the losing. If they were 11-4 right now instead of 4-11, and he had the exact same numbers, he would not in any way, shape, or form be one of those diva wide receivers wondering how I'm not getting the ball enough or like at all. He's got zero of that in him. I think the lion's share of his frustration is the results.
I know
that's my impression of being around him.
And I'm clearly not asking you to tell me anything that's not out there, but from your vantage point, was Rodgers healthy earlier in the season? Because to me, outside looking in, he looks like a different player now than he was in September and October.
Yeah, I definitely think he was fighting through some things. And again, I'm like you, I'm just eyeballing it, right? Like, he looks like he can run around and protect himself a little bit more now than he could earlier. Not shocking for someone, you know, 41, going on 42 years old and playing a position where you're going to get hit by, you know, heat-seeking missiles who are 275 pounds and can run like the wind, and their job is to basically try to go kill you. Like, that's what he signed up for, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You kind of have to have a screw loose to want to play in this league. I've always kind of thought that. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think he was banged up midway through the season. I think you're right. He probably is able to help himself a little bit more now with his legs. And that definitely makes a difference.
And I know it's been, you know, it's been sketchy since he's been here. They haven't won nearly enough. And last year was what it was. What was interesting to me watching the documentary on Netflix, I don't know how many people have watched it. I enjoyed it immensely. I could not believe, and I don't know why I didn't have this opinion prior, but I was blown away by how much he comes across as just loving the game of football and the desire to win. And it hasn't transpired here. I get that. But from your dealings with him, does that come through loud and clear when you're at least around him?
Yes. Like, I have not seen the documentary yet. I'm like running all over the place with these bowl games and whatnot. That, you know, that's definitely like once football's over and I'm missing football a little bit, that's one of those where I can get my football fixed by going back and watching that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. But at least my impression with him, yes, you can't do this at this level with all of the things that you do all year round that nobody sees, just to prepare yourself to play at this level unless you love it. Like, I've always thought that. I remember going one time, I'm going to say I was probably either young at FAN on the road. Maybe I was in college. I had to have been in college. I remember being at Red Sox batting practice and watching Wade Boggs just one after another getting thrown like outside batting practice pitches and just serving one ball after another off the green monster going the other way. Hmm. And I remember standing there thinking like, God, that looks incredibly skillful, but incredibly boring. Like, how many days do you think he stands there and just does this?
Yeah.
And just keeps on serving balls out to left field. How many days do you think in the gym after practice is over, Reggie Miller probably stood there and shot free throws, right? There's got to be something inside of you that loves it. That loves the boring, that loves the mundane, that like never, ever gets tired of it. Like, I mean, you know, we talk about golf, Darren. I love golf and I'll play golf as much as I possibly can. But like, I don't know about you, go to the range. And I'm like halfway through a bucket and I'm like, all right.
I'm good. That's all for today.
Yeah, I'm warm. Like, let's go. Can we play now?
Yeah.
You know, and then you hear about guys like DJ Singh used to hit balls until like his hands would bleed.
Yeah, all
but
day.
Like, to be that great at something, you have to have a thing inside of you and a love for that sport that's just different, that keeps on driving you to want to keep on doing the same thing over and over again when there isn't, you know, 75,000, 80,000 people there to jump up and down and scream and yell and cheer for you while you're doing it.
All right, let me ask you about Rodgers from this standpoint, not having anything to do with the success or lack thereof on the field this year, his abilities, his personality, his care for the game. We know he's a little bit of a different, unique individual. So I want your sense of being around the team, talking to people around the team. How has he fit in inside this locker room where he's kind of come in from the outside? You talked about all the talent that they have. The expectations were what they were. How has Aaron Rodgers fit in as a Jet?
I've never gotten the impression that he's fit in any other way than you would think. Like the legendary quarterback comes running, walking in, and all the guys that kind of grew up watching him, you know, while they played Madden with like saucer eyes were like, oh my God, I'm in a huddle with Aaron Rodgers. Like there's a reason Davante Adams and Alan Lazard are like, yeah, like follow him. Where is the trail of breadcrumbs that lead me back to Aaron Rodgers? I want to go keep playing with him. So these guys are about football. They're like, I have no idea if they even watch McAfee and hear things that he says. Like, I don't think that, like, as a teammate, I don't think I've ever gotten anything from these, from the players on the team other than him being that, you know, sage, old, legendary player, but at the same time being a really, really good teammate. I've never sensed any friction in the locker room based on his personality at all. None of that's come back to me.
Bob was choosing with us, Jets play-by-play man, Q1043, Jets radio, also all the stuff on ESPN, which we will get to because I got a huge hockey fan to my left. And, well, we're going to talk about that in a moment, too. I guess the last one on the Jets for me, if you were, it's been such a crazy season. There's been so much that has gone on from Saleh to Douglas to the report last week to the job search now. If you were going to bet $50 on it, is Rodgers back next year, or do you think this team goes in a completely different direction, or does it simply depend on who they bring in as coach and GM?
Yeah, if I had to bet on it, I would say he's probably not back, but only because, like, there's always change. But do I think that there's absolutely a chance he comes back? There's absolutely a chance he comes back for the reason that you said at the end. You have to wait and see. There's so many balls in the air, the biggest of which, who are the decision makers?
Mm.
What's their vision? And what are their options? Where do they draft? In that draft room, will they have a pick that leads them to one of these quarterbacks towards the top of the draft? Will one of the quarterbacks drop far enough if they have a pick that's not in the top five? And it doesn't look like right now they probably will have a top five pick. They're kind of hovering based on these last few weeks, maybe at best fifth or so, if I'm thinking about the records of the other teams. Maybe if they win another game, they could be picking as low as 10th or 11th. Usually if there's a quarterback or two out there, they're gone by then. Will there even be a consensus in the draft room based on who they hire about one of those quarterbacks? And then you look at the free agent quarterbacks that would be available. I mean, look at the list. Outside of bringing home Sam Darnold, if Minnesota ever were willing to let him go, and that's a completely separate conversation that they have to have. Which quarterback that's on the free agent market would you sign up for? Because anybody in the free agent market, none of them want to sign like a 1-year contract.
Right.
I mean, anybody in the free agent market wants security. They want to sign a multi-year deal to come in and be your starter. So is Pittsburgh letting Russell Wilson go? No, I wouldn't think so. Not with the success they're having. And they don't have an alternative behind Russell Wilson. You know, I don't think they believe in Justin Fields the same way that obviously Minnesota drafted their future, so they have a very interesting conversation to have. So with all of those unknowns, how could you possibly right now say that Aaron Rodgers is 100% not coming back to the Jets? That he might be by far the best option. And if he wants to come back, and you know, the general manager and new head coach and new offensive system all appeal to him, I mean, I absolutely could see him coming back just based on kind of all of those stars aligning, but that's a lot of stars to align.
Yep.
Right? And you got to wait for all that to come. But again, they have to hire these decision makers first.
All right. So then let's play out that hypothetical, because you outlined all of the variables and the question marks, and we get that. We understand it. So let's go for a second on the thought that he does come back. And you just mentioned the possibility of, you know, different offensive system. And we started with you saying, you know, maybe from looking from a distance, not as quite as exotic or creative on offense as maybe they need it to be. So for him, at this stage of his career, he's got his buddies here, whether it's Adams, whether it's Lazard, Nathaniel Hackett, even though Todd Downing's calling the plays now. Do you view him as somebody that can be flexible enough next year to get on board with some sort of significant change to what they're going to do offensively?
That's a great question. That's a great question, because I would think that the results from this year would make him more flexible, right? Like, I wouldn't think he would be thinking, hey, let's run back everything we did this year. It didn't work. So is this league built more towards what he was doing in Green Bay with the LaFleurs, or is this, and now, you know, obviously the Shanahans, the McVays, like those types of younger, a little more forward offensive thinkers, or is this still a league where you can win with like an old school West Coast offense that he seems most comfortable in? You know, I do think that the league has adjusted where it's just bigger, more athletic corners that in college, because so many teams run all of these wide open spread offenses and so many of the top of the draft of these great wide receivers, everybody's looking for corners too. And I think guys in college get developed as corners, and now the corners have caught up, and just more guys that can play man coverage. And man coverage is really hard to beat when you don't have a lot of schematic ways to beat it. And so I do think that they need to be more of that mindset next year. I would like to think that, you know, to have another kick at the can and maybe have a chance to win, that he would be really open to that. But I mean, he's the only one that can answer that.
Before I hit you with the hockey, one quick one. So you've done obviously the Jets for 23 years, ESPN. You've done a million college games. You're doing bowl games like crazy now. So you've seen a million games at both levels. How the jump from college to the NFL is what, from the standpoint of we've seen so many great college players not make it in the NFL, and yet some that get drafted later in rounds turn out to be superstars. How big is that jump for these guys?
Well, I mean, I think it's still the same jump, but what I think now gives the college quarterback a major advantage, or at least an advantage they didn't have at one point, was we were always trying to project what like a Patrick Mahomes would be in the NFL coming from one of those kind of quote-unquote college offenses. Well, you know what? Those kind of quote-unquote college offenses that everybody looked down their nose at in the days of Mike Leach and spreading people out and, you know, running like that coaching tree and that DNA, that a lot of that has moved to the NFL now. So a lot of the DNA of what these guys are running in college, in many cases, they're now finding in the NFL. And I think it's making the transition of being able to run an NFL offense for some of these guys an easier transition. What I do think the problem is, and I think this is also where quarterbacks are not served well, the Jets are certainly guilty of this, as are many other organizations, they put way too much on these guys too quickly by starting them right away. You know, like if you draft a guy at the top of the draft, by definition, if you're at the top of the draft, normally you're a bad team. That's why you're at the top of the draft. And now it's like, okay, 21-year-old quarterback who's played 14 college football games, go get him. Go play in the NFL right on opening day and go save my team.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's really hard. And you can see how hard it is because Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, these guys are on their fourth different team at this point. And you can see how much different they are now than they were when they were rookies just by having some experience. And, you know, maybe the NFL will get back to a place where they let these guys sit for a year, you know, and learn and take it all in and do what the Chiefs did with Mahomes.
Yep.
Let Alex Smith play for a year. Like, don't throw him right out there on day one. Like, let him prepare. And I was joking with Chad Pennington about this at a Jet game one time that, you know, he's not that old, but he is a friggin' dinosaur at this point. When you think about it, he played halfway through his third year. He was a first-round draft choice. And he was 2.5 years into his career before he finally saw the field.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that now happening with a first-round draft choice at quarterback? No. That would never happen.
Not with the way those rookie contracts
work. That's a difference in the NFL now that maybe you need to go back to.
Speaking of young quarterbacks at the top of the draft, not to put you on the spot because I don't know if you've crossed paths at all doing college football games this year or the last year or so. Any of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward? And if so, if you've seen either of those guys up close, what's your assessment of them at this very early stage as we get ready to turn our eyes to the NFL draft?
Yeah, I have not had Colorado, so I've only seen Shedeur Sanders the way everybody else has seen. And you do need to see them in person to really get like a full grasp. I mean, obviously, he's a tremendous talent. But I don't know. I've never like sat with my analyst in a film room or, you know, sat, you know, I mean, Louis Riddick is who I'm working with. And, you know, who knows? I mean, he could be firing me at some point as a Jet Radio guy. Things go well. You never know.
Right.
So, you know, so yeah, like breaking down one of those guys or at least sitting with someone who has broken them down. We had Cam Ward a couple of times this year. He's really impressive in many, many ways. Now, he would really need to be coached. Because as a decision maker, if you look at Cam Ward, every play is like, you know what? There's a guy 7 yards in front of me who's wide open, and I can check it down, and we can run for 12 yards and pick up a first down and move the chains and be efficient. Or there's a guy like 35 yards down the field who's double covered, but man, I can fit this thing in there, and we can go score a touchdown right now. Okay. And he throws it, you know, and it leads to the spectacular. And it leads to him at one point this year being a Heisman candidate, like a legitimate Heisman candidate. But in the NFL, those windows close very, very quickly. And you throw a lot of interceptions if you approach things that way in the NFL. So he has every possible tool.
All right.
Cam Ward can absolutely be a starting winning quarterback in the NFL. He has that, you know, that swag. That, like, I got this quality about him, calm in the pocket, eyes downfield, chaos happening everywhere around him, and still delivers a strike. But, yeah, like, he needs to be coached to take the easy rather than always try the hard, in my opinion.
All right, last one for me. I'm putting you on the spot. I'm taking the Jets off the table on this question, and I think phenomenal with the NHL. I'd like to see you do more of it, quite frankly.
Same.
You've been doing college football forever, college basketball forever. If you could pick, not even the teams, but if you could pick one to do, what's your favorite, the NHL, the college football, or the college basketball?
Oh, I mean, you know, like I've never been one to be sitting at a college basketball game thinking, oh, I wish I was at a hockey game, right? I love every one of the places that I get a chance to go. The one part that's fun about being involved with hockey at ESPN is we do get to do the playoffs.
Yeah.
We get to be in those buildings and in those atmospheres. Like I've always said, the hard part about college basketball at ESPN is we get to go to amazing places. You're going to Duke and Kansas and North Carolina and Indiana and all of these legendary places of college basketball. And I've been to all of them, and it's awesome. But then you do the whole regular season and all the way through Champ Week, and then the whole country fills out a bracket, and we just go away.
Yeah.
And all these guys that haven't called a lick of college basketball the whole year come dropping out of the clouds, and they get to call the tournament, and we're all having done the whole season sitting home watching it on TV, it's hard, right? Like, you want to be a part of the biggest event. And so when you do hockey the whole season, I'll do, I don't know, 35, 40 regular season games, so you're pretty well immersed in the league and get to know a lot of the teams. And then you get to go call the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I got to call Rangers Game 2 Eastern Conference Finals. I'm at the Garden for a Rangers Conference Final game. Not an opportunity that I'm ever going to most likely have calling college basketball. You know, so that's fun. It's fun to have, you know, the finish line be out there and know you're going to be a big part of it. And that's, I really enjoy that.
Bob, I hope you savored getting the chance to call that playoff action at the Garden last year, because it's not looking good right now. And I know you've been immersed in other things, but you do, your home base is in this market. Can you have any sense or any feel or any idea? Because we're all trying to figure it out around here, Boomer, myself included. What the heck has happened to the Rangers so far this season?
Yeah, I mean, I was a Rangers doubter. Anybody that, you know, asked me, I was surprised that they took the tack they took over the last couple of years, where, like, to me, they were kind of the NHL's version of, like, the 90s Braves, where they had this incredible strength, right? The Braves had their incredible starting pitching, and their starting pitching was really, really, really good. And it won a ton of regular season games. They had an Achilles heel, and it got exposed in the playoffs. The Rangers, same thing. To me, an incredible group, of power play specialists that can rack up power play points and win a million games in the regular season and then get to the playoffs where you're playing against better competition that take fewer penalties, and you've got these guys that can be taken out of their game somewhat by playoff hockey, and they're just way too power play dependent, I've always felt, and they kind of ran into some brick walls in the playoffs, and then their attitude was, all right, well, let's just add Riley Smith and run it back. And that's kind of what they did, right? And so now I'm very surprised that they're having this kind of regular season problem.
Right.
I never thought that they would be floundering on the playoff bubble or maybe towards the bottom of the standings. This is really surprising. But maybe this will force them to change things maybe even faster than they would have. I don't know, maybe this will be a blessing in disguise. Maybe they'll change the roster in a way that they needed to faster because of what's going on right now. I don't know.
Bob, we appreciate the time. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the bowl season, and don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm around, apparently, and I'm allowed now. So
awesome.
Good talking to you guys.
It's about damn time.
I'd love to play golf with the two of you.
Can we do that in the summer.
Yes, let's wait for Jerry to work in overnight, and let's book something out.
Bob Wischusen, thanks, man. Take care.
Thanks, Bob.
See you guys.
All right, that's Bob Wischusen, ESPN, Jets Radio, all these different things. You'll see him.
Man of many
all
talents.
Over the place. Yeah, Bob's great. I've known him since, like I said, 97 I met him, and nice to be able to talk to him this morning. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get Pat Boyle in. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, a little after 9:30. Coming to you live in the Built Ford Tough studio, it is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. We are late, so we very promptly and quickly turn things over to Pat Boyle.
All right, we're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. So just to summarize again, Giants went up 7-0, then 34 unanswered for the Falcons in the starting debut of Michael Penix. Falcons back in first in the NFC South. After the Bucs tripped up and lost to your Cowboys in prime time last night, 26-24. Drew Lock, 2 pick-sixes in the game, also got strip-sacked. Giants are now 2-13, but they are the rightful owners of the number one overall draft pick in April now, thanks to the Giants' great Antonio Pierce, who coached the Raiders to a win over the Jaguars. Jets lose to the Rams 19-9. They're 4-11 with games against the Bills and Dolphins to finish the season. Jets would pick 8th right now if the season ended today. But if you didn't want to suffer through, you know, 2 more double-digit local football losses, you could have went to the Garden and suffered through another pathetic display on the ice.
Final seconds of the power play for Carolina. Dmitry Orlov in front. They score! Oh, man! Jack Roslovic back from the locker room after being attended to some missing teeth to flex that pass from Orlov.
That's why I wanted to play that.
These guys are so fitting.
Loses
man.
A couple teeth, comes back, play goal, no problem.
They are different. They are different.
What is Chad Ruweal doing there?
Jeez. Yeah, so that's Sam Rosen, MSG. Rangers lose 3-1 to the Hurricanes, the team they knocked out in the second round of the playoffs last year. They're 16-16-1. They've now lost 12 of their last 16. 5 points out of a wild card spot, dude, though, CeeLo, through 33 games.
It's a disaster. I mean, and that's so fitting. Roslovic, who they traded to bring in at the deadline last year, he leaves in the offseason, a couple teeth knocked out, bang, power play goal. But just goes to show you where the Rangers are at right now. Everyone's looking for anything. So they come out strong in the first 2 or 3 minutes.
And they won
yesterday.
Friday, did they? They beat Dallas
They
Friday,
did. It was a nice win, but to be fair, they were shorthanded a ton. Dallas went 0-for-7 on the power play. Shesterkin made north of 40 saves.
Do you lose
Jerry
a couple
here.
Teeth?
No. His performance essentially his performance was in that game. Dallas was expected to score north of 5 goals, and they scored 1. Okay. Yesterday they come out strong, score 17 seconds of the game, couple good shifts, dominating, and people are like, oh. Right, it looked like they're back, showing some life on home ice. And then they decided, yeah, you know what? We're good. We're going to take the rest of the day off.
How about a Monday matinee today in Newark? Rangers and Devils at 1 o'clock from The Rock. Devils have the 3rd most wins in hockey. Any chance Rangers win that game, CeeLo?
Chance?
Always a chance,
sure,
of course.
But I would not be optimistic.
Give me a definitive opinion.
No, I don't think they're going to win. I don't think that they've matched up well against the Devils for a couple years now, and the way these two teams are going, no, I would not expect the Rangers
By
to
the
win
way,
today's
speaking
game.
Speaking of that game, it's in Newark, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we were there Saturday. Rutgers played Princeton Saturday at noon.
Loss.
And then they had the Devil game Saturday night against the Penguins. So since we were doing our post-game show and we weren't courtside, they put us up in Matt Lachlan and Chico Resch's. That's where we were. That's where we called the game from, up above the seats, which was great. Yeah, exactly.
Did you channel your inner Chico and Lachlan?
No, I didn't. Well, that's Matt.
Every three that Rutgers hit, Jerry went, woo!
No.
Chico and Matt, yes.
What I did get to see was watching those guys. Now, we've seen it on, like, video where they fast forward through the video, how they change over the court to the ice.
Oh, yeah.
Watching how many people.
Hundreds, right?
Well, I don't know about hundreds, but it's dozens and dozens for sure. And how much they got done in 40 minutes of our postgame show, it didn't even resemble what we were watching an hour prior. It was unbelievable.
The Zoo just said something you learn something new about Zoo every time you work with him. His first job out of college, he did that at the Garden.
Did you really?
He tells me.
I did. It was actually, it's awesome.
So how long, when you go from ice to hardwood, hardwood to ice, how long does it take start to finish? About 2 hours, more or less?
A little more, about three, four, give or take.
For it to be fully ready.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder going from the court to the ice because you have to clear out.
That's what blew me away, was clearing all of the seating the way they did.
Yeah, and then the other thing with that, too, is that when you're getting the boards ready to go in, you actually have to take, like, but very, very hot water, and you have to squeeze it into the grooves where the screws go in.
Yeah.
So you have to do that at every single one. So you're doing that for about, you have guys that are working through the breaks that the union gets them in order to get that done for that day. So it takes a while. It's a process.
I'm still blown away that you worked at the Garden doing this.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Great. Right before I started here.
Hey, overnight. We here.
Why'd you leave that job for this one?
I was working 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. It was tough every night.
I mean, these hours here aren't always the most rewarding either.
I know. I guess we made the right choice.
Of course you did. Yes, you
turning
did.
Turning ice into wood. We here.
Good to know. All right, what else?
Islanders, by the way, home at UBS Arena tonight against the Sabres at 7:30. Knicks home against the Raptors. Noah Emmanuel Quickly, former Knick. He's been out for several weeks with a UCL tear in his elbow. RJ Barrett, sick, missed the last two games. Could likely, I think what I read, play tonight. Nets in Miami to take on the Heat. Still no Cam Thomas. He'll miss his 11th straight with that hamstring strain. Breaking baseball news.
Attaboy. Wow. I was wondering why you had the phone in your hand.
Yeah,
good job.
Right-hander Walker Buehler in agreement on a one-year deal for just over $21 million with...
I saw. So you,
Boston Red Sox.
There you go.
Walker Buehler's now in the AL East.
Mm. Okay.
Cashing in on his World Series performance.
1 year. So,
and how about the breaking news at 2 a.m.?
Yeah, and the news came. It was 1:44 to be exact this morning. Mets are re-signing left-handed starting pitcher Sean Manaea, 3-year deal for $75 million. He was top 20 in baseball this year in innings, strikeouts, and whip. Remember, he signed with the Mets last year for 2 years, $28 million. Did have an opt-out, which he smartly used after a great year that saw him go 12-6 with a 3.47 ERA. He was 12th in the Cy Young voting. So
think about the technology age we're living in. That broke at 2 a.m. It's old news now.
Yeah.
It's 9:30 in the morning.
Pretty much. We got another signing. That's
unbelievable. For sure. I thought when he said breaking news, I thought he had a Pete Alonso update. But
No. And you called me, what was it, Swarmy? For making
Swarmy,
fun of them.
Which I looked up. Yeah, I guess I made that word up.
For making fun of them signing.
I thought Swarmy was like
Kent.
Slimy.
Swanson?
Because I made fun of him because I said maybe they'll bring Samsonite. Kyle Farnsworth or maybe Bartolo Corone can come out of retirement.
Who's
for the
Bartolo
league
Corone?
Corone. Can maybe come out of retirement for the league minimum. All right, I got about a minute. I want to play before moment of the day. I want to play a couple of things. So you guys were talking about Tiger Woods and his son Charlie at that PNC Championship. He was right after he hit the hole-in-one.
I'm broke.
You're buying?
Yes, buying. That's protocol. I'm making a home run.
I'm broke.
You're not proud? For a lot of people.
Yes,
I'm on you, but
so that's like golf. You have a hole in one. You buy a round for everybody. And Tiger's saying to his kid Charlie, "You're buying," and he says, "I'm broke."
I know he's only 15, but if you're Tiger Woods' son, good chance you're not broke.
I would happily buy for everybody if I could get one hole in. You have one?
No, God, no.
It's unbelievable. And Beningo's got 19 of them.
The cool thing yesterday, it was the first for him in a tournament or not. Tiger hasn't had one in like an event like in like 26 years or something like that. And his 15 year old goes out
there. Great. What
drains
a moment.
From 175. Not
what
bad.
A moment.
Yeah, and if I'm Charlie Woods, though, I think I know you guys, you love Tiger Woods. You said the ex-wife was there.
I do. Yeah.
If he starts ribbing me, I'm gonna say, how about the 145 women that you slept with when you were with mom, and maybe put a couple more thousand in my trust fund so I can buy a round for people.
Wow.
icy.
I wonder how that conversation goes with both of his kids.
They're going to have that conversation at some point.
I'm sure they've had it already. He's 15, she's 18.
His daughter's going to college. Yeah. They've seen it on the internet.
I mean, they're there. It doesn't seem put on. I mean, you watched a lot of it yesterday, Jerry. I mean, there definitely seems to be a tightness between father and son. The daughter's on the bag. Yeah. Like,
I can tell you, my kids want to know why everybody thinks I'm angry. quick Google search and everything comes out.
Her story's interesting, too, by the way, his ex-wife, because she married a former NFL player who's, I think, significantly, maybe not significantly, like 10 years younger than her. He had a kid. Then they've had three kids together. She's got six kids. It's pretty wild.
A busy life.
Yeah.
Good. And a lot of money to pay for them.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, I mean, what I'm sure the they're doing fine. Play? Yeah.
What was the other thing I wanted to play?
You said you had a few things to play.
Yeah.
Pick your best one. You got to go.
Best one here. I'll say Mark Sanchez, forgetting who the rules analyst was for Fox.
Not by much. Maybe by an Xbox card. That's a first down.
First cheats territory.
I'll take Pereira and Blandino.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We respect all networks.
Cheats territory is CBS. Sanchez works for Fox. Who's that, Amin? Blandino and
Adam
Pereira.
Amin?
Yeah, with Adam Amin.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Hey, he at least realized it. And correct it.
I know, but you go to them several times a game. How are you that checked out?
Amin said something about the index card in that clip?
Because they were measuring a first down and they got it by like an inch.
Mike, turn your mic on.
Well, so that's why it's believed Sanchez said Sterator, because Amin says you need an index card.
Oh, so Mark was right. He was referencing the Sterator. Okay.
How about that?
And then Amin cleaned it up for the sake of...
And you're ripping him for being checked out. You checked out. You didn't do your research.
Well, it sounds like Amin didn't catch it either.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And then tried to save face.
Whatever. Anyway, Zoo's telling me in my ear, and I saw this yesterday, I think it's official, Knicks signed Landry Shamet, who they did in the preseason, then he got hurt, and there was always kind
of... Amazing. Wrap up. We gotta go.
Moment of the day is brought to you. Can we go to 11? I want to play some more stuff.
What were you doing all morning?
We had to get through the Giants and the Jets. Pathetic football.
Well, the first update, you played four highlights from the Giants.
You had to learn how to use Burley the right way. I mean, yeah. That too.
You told me you were like, you better have a lot of sound. I did. Like, oh, crap.
How's that poinsettia working for you over
there? Yeah, it's stabbing me in the neck. So not great. Anyway, moment of the day brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo Blanco, Cristalino Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos. Jalapeno Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly.
All right, moment of the day. Let's go.
Speaking of Christmas,
you got to set it up.
What is this Christmas song?
I mean, you are just, he's in the fire right now. You're just throwing it.
I'm running
stuff
the 2-minute offense,
right.
Man. Not every throw's going to be perfect, but I'm running back up to the line.
And calling for the snap. Come on.
Good. Set it up. What is it?
I got update happy feed, as Fleas just said. So we were talking about the Christmas song. I maybe thought I had a little bit of a funny bit with the baby. It's cold outside. The old
Jerry shot that
person
down.
Jerry wanted no part of it because apparently I was like hibernating for the last several years when there was a lot of discourse around that song. So here you go. Speaking of Christmas tunes, you know what's like the creepiest Christmas song of all time?
The Grinch.
No.
Baby, It's Cold Outside. Have you ever listened to that song?
Yeah, this is.
We don't need to get into this. Yeah,
please. No. I was driving
You're not wrong, but this is...
You want to get into pop culture music, we can do that. Let's just...
It's become a thing in recent years. It's been discussed.
I mean, when you listen to the original...
Do me a favor, and I'm serious. And I'm not even joking. When you go outside, before you get into putting together the 8:30 report... I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
I thought you were going to say, do me a favor. Just start the update.
Check out the comedian that compares that song to the song... Was it WAP?
Wow, by Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, yes. Do me a favor. Just watch that, and then let's come in and have the conversation.
Somebody's done a comedic bit about that?
Yeah.
I came in. I was fired up to talk about, baby, it's cold outside. Jerry shut that down.
That happens.
It comes back to society just blowing ass.
So there you go.
Well-timed, Zoo. Well-timed with the drop. Good job.
I love Jerry who, misses things because you try to keep your distance from social media a lot. I understand why. He's on top of the baby, it's cold outside, and WAP breakdown, though. I love that. I love that.
I know we got to go. The timing is funny because that just came across my YouTube timeline 2 weeks ago. So it was fresh on my mind. I sat at my desk. My jaw was like, this song got banned, but this song was a hit. Hypocrisy is hilarious.
Standards.
Exactly. Great job. We will see you again later in the week.
Thursday,
Friday. Wonderful. I'm doing afternoon drive tomorrow.
Good for you.
Plug.
Merry Christmas.
Go after it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, we got a couple minutes left. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just today's the 23rd. I know it's cold out there. Are you? Tomorrow is not going to be a day to get things done. Where are you with like Christmas? Are you done with everything?
I'm in pretty good shape. I got a couple little like knickknacks and some cards that I need to finalize. That's about it. I'd say I've been pretty
That's
good
not
shape.
Bad.
Got to do some wrapping. You know, Christmas Eve is active in our family, but there's a lot going on.
What is bigger, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
No, Christmas Day. But like, you know, I have my parents and my in-laws are both local. I have a lot of family in Jersey. So Christmas Day is pretty much exclusively with my side of the family. But Christmas Eve we'll do with my in-laws as well. In fact, tonight actually I'm doing some a family get together gift exchange with a portion of the family that we'll see on Christmas Day. But like we live locally enough that it's like instead of bringing all the gifts an hour north and then just bringing them back, like why don't we just meet on the 23rd and do it?
You spend so much money on the holiday. If you can stretch it out to a few days instead of one or two, why the hell not?
It's ridiculous. We even said this year, hey, you know, let's not do as much. We did that big California trip.
Yeah.
If you might remember, vacation in the summer. And it just got out of control.
Was
it, again.
Not what? Was there the gift for the boys? Because I don't feel like this year there is one.
I wouldn't say that there was. I'm trying to choose my words
don't say
very
it. Just
carefully
curious.
Here.
That's all.
No, I would say it's more the sum of the parts this year. There's not one like wow thing. But you never know what Santa might bring.
So. Oh, you never.
Anything's possible.
You never know. Just enjoy it. The only thing I really didn't get to, so Sean Manaea with the Mets, 3 years, $75 million. We really didn't talk about that too much because it was so football heavy. I really wanted to get your opinion on the Tom Brady stuff, but we're out of time. Maybe tomorrow or later in the week we will, just because the critique of him has gotten to be absurd.
Well, when you're Tom Brady
but
you make as much money as you do, I'm not defending it, but
we're still watching the games.
I know you've made this point. Yes, it
doesn't
matter. Right. Well, I think that's probably the part people thought, oh, he's making all this money, this big contract. Like, he should be bringing more to the table. But
what
it
do you want
to
do? If the game stinks, the game stinks. It's just, Kevin's great. He's fine. We're still watching.
Do you think he's long for this?
I don't know if he wants to do it.
Right.
I will tell you, seeing him up close and personal. So I was with Baldinger in Tampa for Compass Media Networks. That was a Burkhart, Brady, Aaron Andrews game. He seemed into it. I mean, I didn't talk to him.
Well, he loves football. We know that.
So that's the part I could see him being into, but the fact that he's got a piece of the Raiders keeps him in it too, so who knows?